And welcome to the Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland. We have an honored guest, composer Paul Schoenfield. Welcome.
Thank you.
A pleasure to have you here. We've been enjoying your music over the airwaves here from time to time. And you're in town in Madison as part of the centennial of the Pro Arte Quartet, and they have commissioned you to write a work. Was the idea to write something specifically for piano and string quartet, or did that come from you?
That came from me. Anything with string quartet, they said, would be okay.
And so you just added the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And at what point were you asked to do this? How much lead time does one need to get a Paul Schoenfield composition?
I don't remember when I was officially asked, but it depends really what's going on, maybe a year or two.
You do a fair number of commissions, though, still, don't you?
Pays the bills.
What's that?
Pays the bills.
Pays the bills, yeah. You used to be quite an active, I'll say, concert pianist, too, and a spectacular pianist, too, if I may say so, at least from what I've heard of the recordings. What made you decide to cut back on that?
I've been a freelancer for about the last 25 years, and I actually found I could make a better living writing. And then about 4 years ago, I fell on a wet floor in a building. I shouldn't feel so badly. I couldn't use my hand anymore, but the lawyer got a lot of money for me. So that's okay, and I didn't have to work then. So I didn't, and now I can't play it because of that, the injury.
And this must have been not too long ago, as we have recorded.
About four years ago. And even I can play slow stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
But much of what you recorded is lightning fast.
Well, that was before the accident.
Yeah, well, I would think. I'm not trying to take you back to court here. But
that's good. I like it.
You really were quite the spectacular pianist, and a lot of this is, of course, music that you yourself wrote.
Right.
So you were writing it for yourself to play in most cases.
Yeah, basically the commissions I received were something that I'd be part of it.
And with good reason, too. I wanted to hear a little bit of variety of the things that you've written between now and 12:30 or so. And it seems to me that the British folk songs are almost, at least from what I've heard, almost atypical of your work.
I can't say. I mean, it's based on folk music like most or a lot of my pieces are. And again, these are really arrangements of folk tunes, not the original compositions, per se.
But some very original arrangements.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, this is one of the, I'll say, the quieter interludes in this set of six British folk songs. It's called The Parting Kiss, and this features you, Paul Schoenfield, as the pianist with cellist Nathaniel Rosen.
It wasn't really so parting, like a lover thing, that I think the person was dying.
a permanent parting, is
it? Yeah, right.
Well, here we go. The Parting Kiss from the British folk songs of Paul Schoenfield. Got a little extra there, and good contrast, too. That was The Lousy Tailor, or Some of The Lousy Tailor, which followed almost immediately from The Parting Kiss. And these are two of the six British folk songs set by Paul Schoenfield. He was the pianist in that performance with cellist Nathaniel Rosen. What made you pick The Lousy Tailor? How did you decide which songs to set?
I'll tell you in a second. You know, I always had a question about these things. What happened if you get some guy and he starts telling dirty jokes? What do you do?
It depends a little bit. Why, did you have a plan?
Well, I was just curious. I mean, they're always, I guess, running through my head somehow. But,
It depends on how dirty it is, actually. But if it's beyond the pale, then all we do is we have this thing that will turn your mic off.
Ah, okay.
And that's the best we can do in here for now. Now, on the Ideas Network, where they have people talking all the time, you don't know who is going to be saying what. See, here we only invite the creme de la creme, so we're pretty safe. But over there, you never know who you're going to get, and they do have a thing called, it's called profanity dump. And you push that button, and whatever you say that follows that for a time, it's just nobody hears it except for you.
Huh.
But as I say, we don't have to do that over here.
Okay.
We have a different kind of clientele.
Okay.
You look trustworthy.
Thank you.
Now, speaking of these songs, how did you decide which ones to do?
This was a commission from a family, and the daughter of this family had studied with Jacqueline Dupre, and she was
sure.
kicking off, and they asked me to write something in her memory, in her honor. I think she was still alive, actually.
Uh-huh.
And so I kind of got a plot for just from looking through a bunch of, 100, 500 different British folk
sure.
songs, and found something where I could weave in and out a story about it. And that was it.
Well, quite the fascinating combination of songs it is, too, as I don't think I've ever seen about half of them done before.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but a lousy Taylor could have been, Mr. Death.
Sure. Well, yeah, with British folk songs,
these
titles can mean all kinds of things, can't they?
You know that that movie, I guess it's a Monty Python, the guy said, "I am Death."
Right.
It's personified. Yeah, I
sure.
guess that's what I thought of.
That could well be, and wouldn't be his first appearance in music, actually. How did the cafe music come about? You actually did play in a cafe, didn't you?
That's how it came about. I substituted for someone, a pianist. They had a house trio, and the pianist was sick, and they asked me if I'd cover for a couple of nights. I'd never done it before. I said, no problem, it's easy to do. So I did it, and simultaneously I had a commission from the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra to write a chamber work for the series. And I didn't have much time at all, so I just asked if I could write it only for trio rather than more instruments, and they said it'd be okay. That'd be the easiest to do,
sure.
make it still chamber music.
Yeah, sure, trio, that's certainly legitimate chamber music. And what's this movement we're going to hear is the third of the three.
Yes.
And what is there characteristic about it?
Gosh, I can't say. It's just...
Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, that'd be okay.
Third movement of the Cafe Music by my guest today, Paul Schoenfield. Paul, now I can ask you, what's going on in that razzle-dazzle, very engaging final movement of the Cafe Music? Is it, you said, use the term, what, Jewish Dixieland?
Jewish Dixie, yeah. It's as close as I could think to it.
Is that the kind of thing you'd actually play in a cafe, or is this a more metaphorical title?
I think it was metaphorical, but some of the stuff was upbeat, I remember, that we were playing. And
would you like to play in a cafe again, do you think?
I wouldn't mind, except for the smoke.
Well, of course, in much of Wisconsin, that wouldn't be an issue.
Oh, it's not allowed even in a bar.
Right. Many places, yeah. That was a political issue that was settled a few years ago.
How's the bar business been since then?
It depends on who you ask, but it seems to be doing well. And I'm sure if you were to play there, it would be a full house. So maybe we can set something up after the show here.
Fine.
Do a little bit of merchandising and marketing.
That'd be nice, too, and a drink.
Yeah, I'll promise you one of those, too. Back with Paul Schoenfield, composer who's in Wisconsin for the centennial celebrations of the Prairie Quartet, which quartet commissioned a work from him. And among the other things going on with Paul Schoenfield in the next couple of days, he will be giving a composition masterclass this afternoon, which is called The Music of Paul Schoenfield. Should be a good expert for that. And also tomorrow, that'll be Saturday, I should say, there is a concert preview and a concert. Both of those are free. The concert includes the world premiere of Paul Schoenfield's 3 Rhapsodies for Piano Quintet, featuring the Sonata Quartet and pianist Brian Sue. That's at Mills Concert Hall. And the open rehearsal for that event takes place tomorrow. That's Thursday the 17th from 9 to noon. And that also is at Mills in the Humanities Building at the UW-Madison. Why did you choose the title Parables for these 4 pieces?
I don't quite remember, but I think there is a message to be learned from the stories that each one was based on.
And do you remember anything about the first one in particular? Oh, the first of the 4?
I think you might cut me off.
You're going to go on for some length at that.
No, I just meant as far as it's such a gruesome story.
Oh. So we should maybe leave that to the imagination.
Okay.
It's kind of like, well, you know, the Edward Ballads of Brahms, the first one is about patricide.
Ah.
You can't really tell just from listening to the music.
No. Well, it's...
So we leave this to your imagination. This is the first of the 4 parables for piano and orchestra by Paul Schoenfield, and this features pianist Andrew Russo with the Prague Philharmonic led by Joanne Faletta. The first of the 4 parables for piano and orchestra by Paul Schoenfield. You don't really give the pianist much of a break, do you? That's hard stuff.
I wrote it for myself, so it fits my hands okay. It's probably harder for someone else.
But that pianist certainly did
Andy
stellar
Russo
job.
Can play anything, yeah.
And with him was the Prague Philharmonic led by Joanne Faletta. Do you have to throw out a lot when you work when you write a composition? I know you've been commissioned, of course, for the Pro Arte Quartet to do this set of pieces that turned out to be 3 rhapsodies.
I don't know if I throw it a lot, but I'm constantly revising, and as a result, I'm a very, very slow composer, and I think maybe one piece I wrote where I didn't have to revise after the premiere.
Oh, that would probably be unusual for any composer, wouldn't it?
For what?
To just have a piece you didn't have to revise after the...
Well, some people say after the premiere they don't want to work on it anymore.
There are composers who have been notorious for right on the day of the performance or right, you know, in the pit practically, they're down there changing notes.
This is a little different. I think it's more of a philosophical thing. Like Shostakovich would never change a note afterwards. I don't know if you know that famous story when someone says, Dmitri, shouldn't this be an F sharp rather than an F? It would sound better. And he says, you know, you're right, it would be better with an F sharp, but let's leave it as an F anyway. Yeah.
I'm through with it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing that world premiere of the 3 Rhapsodies for Piano Quintet that you have written for the Pro Arte Quartet. And that concert again Saturday night at Mills, and it's free. And it's been a pleasure having you here for this part of the midday.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to enjoying more of your music. You have more other things you're writing all the time, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a list of things I have to work on next.
Well, good. You don't have to think about what to do. It's all, you know, right there on your to-do list.
Exactly.
Look forward to that, too.